Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the book of Galatians, and we're going to go to chapter 5 in our book of Galatians here this morning. Galatians chapter 5, and this morning I am going to read verses 19, 20, and 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. If you don't have your Bibles, we have Pew Bibles. I will be reading out of an NASB Bible. We do have NASB Bibles in each one of the pews. I will also have the words up here on the screen so you can follow along. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for our scripture text. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter to the people at their churches in Galatia as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Father, once again, we open up this book to this section. And Father, you have appointed me to expound this portion of scripture to these people here this morning. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you. And Father, we all walk away here this morning knowing a little bit more about your truths about this scripture. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians. And we are going through this book verse by verse. And this is message number 39. The 39th week we've been here in the book of Galatians. And I've titled today's message, I Forewarned You, the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 21. The Bible is a balance between the bad news and the good news. The bad news is that every human being is a sinner bound for the pits of hell. And the good news is there is a plan of salvation that was developed by a very loving God to save us from our sinful selves. And in every Christian church around the world, there needs to be a balance of the bad news and the good news preached at that church. Granted, not every Sunday will you hear good and bad. Sometimes you might hear more good, sometimes you might hear more bad. But they both need to be preached. There needs to be a balance preached between the law of God and the grace of God. There needs to be a balance preached between hellfire and brimstone and the love of God. There needs to be preached the understanding of the nature of mankind and also the nature of God. And there needs to be preached that every human being walking on the face of this earth is a sinner. And that's why every human being walking on the face of this earth needs a Savior. So what does the Apostle Paul say about this? What does he say about this balanced preaching? From 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he's writing this letter to Timothy, his protege, who is in the church at Ephesus. And he writes this and he says this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing this to his protege Timothy, who's in Ephesus. And this is basically the benchmark for preaching and preachers. We need to correct, rebuke, and encourage. And here Paul is telling Timothy, with those three words, the balance and how that is done. So let's put the definitions of those three words up here, and let's see what Webster says. Good and short definitions. To correct, to make or to set right. To rebuke, to criticize sharply. And to encourage, to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. Correction is always the desired result of preaching. Rebuking is a negative way to accomplish that task, and encouraging is more of a positive way to accomplish that task. A wrong behavior or belief in a church must be corrected. So how did Paul do this? Well, we see some of the words here, what he wrote to Timothy, but I want to point out this also from Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Paul just spent about 3 years in Ephesus. He's ready to leave. He's ready to get on the boat. And they're down by the shore, and they're all hugging and kissing each other because Paul's ready to walk away and go away. And he says this to the elders who are going to remain behind. He says this, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Now, we have four fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go and let's fill in the first one. And it would say this: correction can only be achieved by preaching the whole counsel of God. Some Bibles might say the full counsel of God, same thing. But correction can only be achieved by preaching the whole counsel of God. Those are the biblical standards for preaching and for preachers, not only then, but today. But what happens when that balance of preaching becomes skewed more to one direction than the other? And that's what we're going to answer here this morning. With all the media and social media available to us today, it's very obvious that the church, especially here in America, has become skewed and imbalanced in what they teach and in what they preach. I want to ask and answer three obvious questions here this morning. Let me put those questions up here. Here's what we're going to ask. Number one, what is the imbalance in the church today? Number two, how did the church get this way? And number three, what are the implications of imbalanced preaching? So let's go to question number one, and let's go to what I believe is the correct answer. Number one, the question, what is the imbalance in the church today? Answer, the imbalance in the church today includes only the love of God and eliminates the wrath of God. The only correction coming from the pulpit in many, many, many churches today is encouragement and never any rebuking. A whole lot of this, the love of God, encouraging, but never the wrath of God and rebukes. Here's what you will hear in many churches like this. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you just the way you are. It's actually the touched by an angel mentality, if you remember that TV show. Remember Monica? Every week, Monica would say, "God loves you," in her nice little, Scottish accent or whatever it was. And then this orange light would appear behind her. But every week, God loves you. God loves you. It's okay to hear that God loves us. But that in itself never saved anybody. If that is so, then why do unrepentant sinners who scoff at the word of God and curse the authority of God, why are they sent to an eternity in the pits of hell where the fire is never quenched? Because God loves them just the way they are? Don't think so. No. People, we need to wake up. God does not and never has loved their sin or your sin or my sin. And that is a very huge imbalance in the church today. Let's just accept everyone for whatever lifestyle they may lead. And let's not judge them, because the Bible tells us not to judge, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And let's be tolerant of their sin. And then let's place them in leadership positions within the church to make them feel even better about themselves. And top it all off with this: let's make sure that they know that God loves them. I'm going to put a video clip up here, and I hope I can get it to work. It's about a 20-second clip of two people. One is two people on the same stage at the same time. One is Oprah Winfrey, and one is Joel Osteen. Now, I'll let the clip speak for itself, and then I'll talk about it. I don't know where this was at. I think it was the Oprah Winfrey Show, and her guest is going to be Joel Osteen.
Why does Oprah like Joel Osteen? Well, let's try to find out.
Just repeat after me. I am strong.
I am strong.
I am healthy.
I am healthy.
I am confident.
If you ever watch Joel Osteen, you'll hear that every Sunday. You'll never hear anything negative. So here he is with Oprah Winfrey, and the Oprah Winfrey School of Theology says this: every path makes it to heaven. So you team the two of them up, you put America's favorite pastor, not by my definition, but by somebody else's, on the stage with Oprah Winfrey. And you have him, who's supposed to be the representative of God, saying things like this to all these people. And what's going to happen? They all believe him. That they are beautiful. That they are this. That they are talented. That they are victorious. And those are all words of encouragement. But when is it going to get to the point where somebody says, especially someone like Joel, and you're also all sinners, bound for the pits of hell unless you repent? Words that will never come out of his mouth. This is not the gospel. This is today's version of Robert Schuller's self-esteem gospel. It's all about self. It's all about making me feel good about me, no matter what I might be. And may I remind everyone in here, when you put an adjective before the word gospel, like self-esteem gospel or social gospel, then you have a false gospel. And a false gospel never saved anybody. Beach Grove, we are so imbalanced as a church, not here, but in many churches across this country, so far down this side, God loves you, that the other side is never, ever mentioned anymore. Well, let's get back to our scripture reading. The Apostle Paul had no problems whatsoever giving the churches at Galatia or any of the people in any of his letters a dose of this. So let's look once again at what he said in Galatians 5:21. Now, I'm not going to read 19 and 20 because it's all the other words about the deeds of the flesh. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, probably with the finger going like this, I forewarn you just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Twice in one verse, in today's scripture reading, Paul not only warns the people in the churches of Galatia about the issue of the deeds of the flesh, but he has already warned them at a previous point in time, more than likely when he founded the churches about 5 years prior to the writing of this letter. Folks, if we don't warn, if we, preachers, people who are sharing the gospel, don't warn people about their sin, they will never understand why they need a Savior. Let's go to question number two. Question number two in our next fill in the blank. How did the church get this way? The church got this way by becoming more like the culture instead of standing on the Word of God. Our 21st century American society has become one that demands that everyone, including all of us, including church people, we need to be politically correct. And whatever you do, don't any of us offend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. And this has filtered over into the church. The cry of the church has now become, don't say anything offensive to anybody because they might go away. We don't want them to go away. In the 1990s, the church bought into something called pragmatism. Pragmatism basically says that the church ministry is defined by the people and no longer by the Word of God. The people will tell the preacher what they want to hear. And in return, the preacher and the church will give them exactly what they want. Nobody goes away. Everybody is happy. The truth now becomes whatever works because you want the people to keep on coming back. You want to keep people to keep on coming back. And here's one big reason right here you want them to keep on coming back, because you want their money. So let's change the preaching and the message to suit the desires of the people who are attending. And then nobody gets offended. And this ideology of pragmatism quickly led into the church, which is called the seeker-sensitive movement, which began back in the 1990s. So what does the seeker-sensitive church look like today here in 2021? They tell the people that God loves you. God loves you. Now, if I said that to you, it's safe. I can say that. It's true. I can say that. And it's not offensive. So I can say that. But if that's all you hear, that is the church of Joel Osteen and others like him. Paul's message was in sharp contrast to the culture of that day and to the people. His message was not politically correct. It hurt people's feelings. So let's look at some of the other things that Paul has already said to the Galatians here within this book. Number one, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says this, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed." Paul, let him be accursed. Some Bibles use the word anathema. Accursed, that means, Paul, you're telling these, may these people go to hell? Paul, you can't talk like that. People aren't going to like you if you keep on talking like that, Paul. Galatians 2:14. "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Who is Paul rebuking here? Cephas. Who is Cephas? Peter. Yes, the Apostle Peter, the one who walked on the water until we lost faith. That Peter. And he's rebuking Peter. Didn't Paul once think for one moment that Peter might be offended by what Paul is saying, especially when he disses him right in front of all of Paul's Jewish friends? You can't do that, Paul. Galatians 3:1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Now he's calling the Galatians fools. You can't do that today, folks. You can't do that today. That is hate speech today. You can be arrested if you call the wrong group of people fools in today's society. So you better watch what words you use when you're talking to certain groups of people. And then Galatians 5:19-21. I'm not going to read all that to you. We've already read it several times. Not inherit the kingdom of God? Paul, are you judging me? Are you judging me? What I do in private, if I do any of these in private, Paul, that is none of your business. I'll do what I want to do. You just mind your own business. And don't tell me I'm not going to inherit the kingdom of God, because you, Paul, you are judging me. And folks, that is what our culture has become today. They are afraid of offending people with the word of God, because the culture has taught us, don't offend the people with anything you say. Let's avoid confrontation at all costs, and let's just tell the people how much God loves them. No one will ever be offended if you tell them that God loves them. Folks, the more we become like the culture, the less we become like the church. Question number 3, and the answer and our final fill in the blank. What are the implications of imbalanced preaching? The most important implication, there are many, but the most important implication of imbalanced preaching is that lost souls will remain lost. They will remain lost. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So what is the word of Christ? The word of Christ is the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's a combination of the bad news and the good news. And a person will never understand, this will be the third time I'm saying it, why they need a Savior, the good news, unless they recognize their own sinfulness and destination hell, the bad news. Hearing and believing an incomplete gospel is just as deadly as hearing and believing a false gospel. An incomplete gospel never saved anybody. You must hear the bad with the good. And that's why Paul had to use these certain words in his letter to the Galatians. I forewarn you, as I have forewarned you. He needs to warn them of the bad so they can better understand the good. He needs to warn them that their behavior is a reflection of their salvation or not. He needs to make sure that they test themselves, examine themselves. And if they continue to practice in their sinful ways, they are not saved and they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The warnings had to be given. But Mike, those words, they're offensive and they are judgmental. Exactly. That's right. You got it. They are offensive and they are judgmental. And that's exactly what they need to be. And if churches many churches around this country today don't start preaching the rebuke part of the change that people need, the correction that people need, and start preaching the full counsel of God, good intentioned people who have only been taught the love of God are going to end up in hell because they never heard this. Well, God, don't you? I love you. They never heard the word repentance. They never heard the words that they were sinners. Acts chapter 20:26. We had this up there before, but I have different words underlined here this time. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul knew that all the people in all these churches that he came in contact with had heard the full counsel of God. They had heard the bad and they had heard the good. They heard the rebuke and they heard the encouragement. They heard about the blood. What he's saying now is the blood, which is the eternity of those souls that he preached to, was no longer on his hands. I'm clean. I did my job. I did what I was supposed to do. I preached the full counsel of God. So what about those preachers and pastors and teachers who fail to perform and to proclaim the full counsel of God? What if they go too far this way and that's all we've talked about? Or go too far this way and never talk about the salvation provided through Jesus Christ? What about those pastors and preachers who never talk about the other side of that equation? Well, first of all, we need to pray for those people, for sure. But I would not want to be those individuals, those teachers, those preachers, and those pastors when they enter into eternity. I would not want to fall into the hands of the living God while he's questioning me. All right, Mike, you were at Beech Grove Church on the content of my sermons as his representative. Because a lot of these people are going to hear these words, Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Depart from me. I never knew you. A lot of pastors and preachers are going to hear that. All because they would rather follow the culture than follow the word of God. Because they would rather not offend anybody than to present them with the truth of the word of God. I'm going to end with one last slide. Let's add a little bit of levity to this morning. Who remembers Lost in Space? Of course, we all watch Lost in Space. We had the robot, we had Will Robinson, and the robot every week would say, danger, danger, and his arms would go flying. The robot on Lost in Space had no problem warning Will Robinson and the other crew of the Jupiter 2 about impending dangers coming up. As parents, we have no problem warning our children of impending danger that they will find and see out there in this world. Likewise, pastors, preachers, teachers of the Word of God should have no problem at all warning their flock about the dangers in this world which could keep them out of heaven. Folks, we need a balance in the preaching today in churches. Yes, the love of God, the wrath of God. We need to hear the rebukes, and we need to also hear the encouragement. We need to know that we are sinners, but we also need to hear that there is a Savior to free us and to forgive us of this. We need a balance. And the words, I forewarn you, need to be said more often. The eternity of lost souls is at stake. Let's go to God with a word of prayer.